We want to talk about a very interesting story that is actually a little more than a couple of months old, but in terms of time. But I think it's something that we could always talk about because it started with tragedy, but it's turned into sort of a heartwarming story about the community. To help us dive into this and talk about exactly what I'm alluding to quite vaguely is Jane Waterston. Now, Jane. Has been described as a pillar of the Sandy Hill community. In fact, if you read Image, which is, I mentioned earlier on the show, a community newspaper here in Sandy Hill, you will probably know her handiwork quite well because she is the editor, and she's quite well known around these parts. Jane is intimately involved, or at least knows a whole lot about exactly what happened with Ayoub's, which I also referred to earlier in the show as the mini-mart at Somerset in Blackburn that suffered hundreds of thousands of dollars in fire damage in April. April 15th, as I mentioned, was the day that that fire struck. So we're going to start there. Jane, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. Let's do that. Let's start from the beginning. April 15th.
Yes.
What happened when you woke up?
Well, that was the day I was expecting the proof of the April issue of Image to be delivered at my door at 9, and I was sitting there waiting for it, and at 10 to 9 I had a phone call from our photographer, Bill Blackstone, who lives on Russell, very close to Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh, I got photos of it, Jane." I said, "Bill, it's okay. We're into proofs now. We're finished with the publication. He said, "Oh, no, didn't you hear? Ayoub's is burned down." And I was there, and I got photos. He also likes to string for the Citizen a little bit, and he'd hoped, I think, to get the scoop to be there. But mm-hmm. this actually turned into a much bigger event than, well, it was a big event, for sure. So I knew we had photos. I knew the proof was coming, and I knew that I had basically the day to play with the issue. So for me, it was actually breaking news, which is something we rarely have at Image.
Right.
And yes, we pulled the front page, one of the front page articles, and put on the cover one of Bill's excellent photos of the fire sort of leaping out of the ceiling, the roof of the store. And then once I'd figured out what we were going to do, I went down to the barricade. It was the police had cordoned off the entire block from Blackburn to Russell, to Chapel, excuse me. And the fire was definitely quenched by the time I got down there at 9:10, I guess, about. But there were probably 100 people sort of ringing the area, talking and wanting to know what happened and how the family was. And certainly there was lots of police being quite strong about not letting us, you know, get anywhere closer to the situation. So anyway, I walked the long way around the block and came in at the Blackburn side and ran into a bunch of people that I knew, among them Francesca Narowski, principally. And Francesca at that point was the Councillor Bedard's assistant at City Hall, and she lives on Marlborough. And so she had been down there, and she also actually knew the family quite a lot, used the shop a lot, had actually, I think, been over for supper with the family upstairs in their apartment the week before. And I mean, she's a terrific, warm person, she was just telling the story of the family. Then we could see that the family was there. We didn't actually see New Eye. I don't know if you know about the family itself, but the business was owned by, or is owned by, the Shaheen family. And New Eye, we all call her New Eye. I think this was the only time I actually learned the family name of the family.
Right.
She was there, and three or four of her daughters, and they were on the porch of Drumlin's, where people had offered them coffee and a place to sit. And they were obviously very shaken, very, very shaken. So I was talking with the neighbors. We all were sort of reminiscing about Ayoub's and just in shock, you know, wondering how the neighborhood was going to persist without it. So then I took a few quotes and ran home and sort of put the facts down. I knew I only had three paragraphs worth of space left on page one. So went to press, and so that was the end of that day for me. So I guess that was it, and because the fire was over. But of course, no one knew. A, we didn't know the source of it, and frankly, I really don't know even now what the source is, or the extent. But we did know the family was safe, which was the principal question.
Right. Nobody was injured in that fire. Is
no,
that right?
No.
And there were also five students who occupy.
Yes, it was the whole stretch along that block on Somerset was affected. There, the store itself. Was quite a large plant of a store. I mean, it was a convenience store, but a bigger, probably twice the size of a usual convenience store. And the family lived in the flat upstairs, the Shaheen family. I think six or seven people regularly lived there. And next door, there was a duplex, and there were five students on the upper floor, five boys. And one of their mothers was actually in touch with me a little bit through the month after that. And a couple downstairs, and then an Asian couple two doors down, and they were all affected by the fire. I think they mostly lost goods. I don't think they actually I think the building was restored more quickly. Their buildings were restored more quickly.
Now, you mentioned that when you showed up early in the morning, there were about 100 people there.
Yeah.
And now these 100 people probably, given what happened very quickly, weren't just gawkers. They cared about that store.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think there are many events that would pull out
right.
People like that. No, and that was after 9, once the fire was quenched. I mean, an hour and a half earlier, they had all the people on their way to work. I think there were many more at that point. And, being early spring, that was the week we were all crawling out from under our rocks anyway. So, it was the first time we'd seen our neighbors for a few months in many cases. There was definitely a huge interest. I mean, I had many, many people used it frequently. I mean, one little girl, Kathleen, was telling me she'd stopped in on her way home from Guides the night before. She figured she was the last child to buy a candy. there were just thousands of people who used it. But people used to hang out there, too. I mean, it was quite, there was sort of just concrete out front, but, people would stop and chat. We knew the family. I mean, they lived there, so they were neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the community jumped into action hours after this fire broke out.
Well,
what exactly
on the spot right there. Well,
yeah.
Francesca immediately, I mean, her job is to fix things and to make things happen. But this was actually in her role as a neighbor as opposed to the counselor's office. But she really thought that people wanted to help, and she thought what they needed is cash. I mean, they were, losing their computers and their underwear, and, they would just need some short-term cash. We all assumed, I think quite rightly, that insurance was going to pay for the bulk of the damage. But, there was a shock, and certainly the Shaheen kids are, early 20s. They're not very old, and there wouldn't have been, huge bank accounts waiting to help them out. So Francesca said, well, she was going to open a bank account, and she was going to do it at the TD Bank, which is at Friel and Rideau, which is the closest bank, or it's the bank in the center of Sandy Hill. And I think she was already a client there. So she went and she opened a checking account. She'd hoped to open it in the name of Ayub's Fire Fund. And the idea was that we would spread the word this account existed. And people could just walk in and drop off $20 or $5 or, $2 or whatever they wanted. And it would be anonymous. There'd be no record kept of who was donating. But then she got to the bank and found it was a little more complicated than that. It needed to be a co-signed shared account. So she invited Rania Shaheen, the daughter of Nua, to be also in charge of the account with her. And that was also for, transparency reasons. It wouldn't have been right for Francesca to do it all by herself. That opened, I think it took about 4 days to open the account, but the word did spread, and at the end, as you saw, there was over $10,000 was donated.
That's right, $10,000. And now there was another event. Are quite involved at the All Saints Anglican
right,
Church.
Right, yes, I hang around Chapel and Laurier quite a bit. So we had already, at All Saints, and I would love to promote this, twice a year we have a community dance. One of the features of that building, if your listeners haven't been in yet, is there's a huge, gorgeous hall. It was built in the 30s. all wood, sprung wood floor. It's fantastic for dancing, and it's regularly used by many groups. Right now, I think there's Friday Swing Night dancing there every Friday night. But twice a year, the congregation itself, we have a modern-sized congregation, not very large, and you know, we have to harbor our energy a little bit, but twice a year we open the door and we have a dance. We get a band. We have two bands that we use. In the fall, we use Murray Kinsley's band, Wicked Grin, and in the spring, twice now, we've been lucky to have Mark Vukas, who has a band called The Attachments. These are guys who play in bars quite a lot. And he lives on Somerset, ironically just a block from Ayub's. So we had Mark's band already booked for the 24th, 26th of April. And I guess that after I had the paper sort of figured out, I called director Rhonda Mackay and suggested that we divert the proceeds from our April dance to the Ayub's Fire Fund as a way of really helping the community organize that generosity. And she and the other members of the corporation, we have two wardens, we have wardens in the church, all agreed, and so we did that, which meant that we certainly, from the money that came in at the dance, there were $15 door ticket price, plus a bunch of ladies, just fantastic women in the neighborhood, organized a silent auction, and we love silent auctions in San Diego. This is really the best way to, everybody wins from a silent auction. And so Carol Waters and a bunch of ladies went out and got a lot of stuff donated for it, and it was just a gift to the church people not to have to organize that auction. And then we had a bar too, you know, with very low bar prices, altogether, we had, by the time we'd paid off our expenses, we had $4,500 from that dance, which we wrote. I mean, the money was all handled by our church treasurer, so it was very carefully accounted for, and we ended up taking just a check down to that account, depositing it in, and that was it.
I wonder, what did the family think of all this?
Oh, well, I mean, of course, at the beginning, on the 15th itself, the family was just in shock, and the last we saw, they were kind of getting in cars and being driven to Nua's sister's house and in Alta Vista, where, I mean, they become from a large extended family, so we knew that they would be cared for immediately, but we didn't see them. They left the neighborhood, basically, and nobody wanted to interrupt them and ask them questions all the time. So the dance is really the one time when they came, and it was wonderful. They all came, all the kids, and Nua and her husband. And they sort of sat at a table by themselves. It was a dark hall, and the music was loud, and, you know, people were visiting with their friends. It was just a dance. There was a bit of mingling, but in the break, we had the draw for various door prizes, and then the whole family came up. Not Nuha, sorry, but all the younger kids came up, and Tony, who, if anyone shopped at the store, they'd remember Tony. He's a very dynamic guy, and he spoke for all the girls and said how, you know, how touched they were by the event, and thank you for all of this, and spoke a little bit about the tragedy, and everyone just clapped, you know, and it was like, I think I was saying the other day, it was like a huge hug, you know, it was like the community was hugging this family, and they left the dance, obviously more happy, you know. It was a real show of support that meant a great deal to them. So it was really an amazing event.
So it's a story with a happy ending.
Very happy. Well, happy. Happy-ish. I mean, they still know the place is still a hulk of a burned out place, but I think they've calmed down. They've since found a house that they can rent to live in, and they're waiting for the insurance company to finish its investigation, which is very thorough, and, you know, I mean, it'll probably be late fall, I think, before they actually have a go-ahead to start rebuilding. But as far as Nuha is concerned, they do want to rebuild. That's great news for us.
We'll stay tuned to the story as it develops into the fall. Thanks, Jane, for coming on the show.
My goodness. I talked a lot. Thank you.
That's Jane Waterston of Sandy Hill fame. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes with more from Around the Block here on CHUO 89.1 FM.